for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSIP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. And tonight we are going to change up a little bit. Instead of giving you intro information, we're going to go straight to Powell County Middle School baseball coach Derek Robinson, and also have some of the players to talk to here in a few moments. But first, we'll start with Derek with Powell County Middle School baseball.
Yeah, actually, we've been trying to get Derek in probably since the beginning of the season, to be honest with you. He and I worked together, and we've talked about it, and their schedule, our schedule, has kind of been crazy, and you know, the boys' game was canceled against Mason County, even though they're traveling on the road. At that point, it finally is happened, even though, you know, they're at the end of their season, kind of, in a sense, as far as the schedule going forward. They've already kind of played their regular season, but we'll get started here with Coach Robinson. So, obviously, let's go back just a little bit, talk about the team that you have, you know, at the beginning of the season, what your outlook was as far as the players that you had.
Yeah, we started off pretty well against Woodford County. We joined a conference this year, the Bluegrass Conference. So we get to compete against teams like Woodford, McNabb, Clark County, all the Georgetown schools, Bourbon County. Let's see. Just those schools that have really good tradition in baseball, we get to compete against those. And I thought that at the beginning of the year that we would compete really well, which we did. We ended up being 7-3 in the conference, which is really good. It's been many years since we've, as a middle school program, we've been in the conference. I played in it myself. I don't know what happened in between that time, but I had great expectations, and I felt like we met those. Yeah, we had a loss in the first round of the conference tournament Monday night, but the boys competed. We ended up losing 4-3 to Scott County, but I was pleased by their competitiveness. And I mean, I know we're disappointed, but I was just super proud of them by that.
So as far as the makeup of your team, do you mostly have eighth graders, a good mix of seventh and eighth graders? Kind of what's your team roster?
We have 13 eighth graders. When you have big groups like that, that's how you build successful programs. We have one seventh grader that starts on our eighth grade team, Carter Poe. He starts for second base. But other than that, it's a eighth grade led team, and with that experience comes with great success.
I would agree with you. Obviously, 7-3, very respectable regular season. As far as the games that you all had, how was the season as far as the rainouts? You know, how many games did you have scheduled only, you know, to get those 10 in?
I had 27 games scheduled, which is, I feel like, a lot for a middle school team. Right now, we've got 15 in so far, and we have five more. We play Estill County tomorrow. So we should have about 21 games, depending on, of course, more rainouts if there's chances of rain next week. But I'm very proud of this bunch. We are 11-4 right now in the 15 games that we have played. There's been many rainouts, and I've been trying to reschedule. But as a middle school program, umpires have been hard to come by also. So we're just trying to get them in when we can. And when we have played, we've been playing pretty well.
At this point, what – kind of going back to yourself personally, in a sense, what was the attraction for you to actually get into coaching for yourself?
Well, I've played baseball since I could walk, and I've loved the game more than anything. Whenever I was in college, Frank Spencer, when he got the head coaching job at the high school, called me with the opportunity to help Jimmy Crace as an assistant at the middle school program for the first 3 years, and then we had the COVID year, and then the next last two has been as the head coach.
At that point, as far as your coaching, how would you describe your style of play?
I don't know. I think I like being aggressive. I like trying to steal as many bases as I can. We try to manufacture runs. This year, offensively, we've been pretty good. It's easy to score runs whenever you can hit the ball. We played Lexington Catholic on Saturday before the conference tournament, and we scored 23 runs against them, 15 hits, and they ended up scoring 13. It was a very offensive game. We had a combined 25 hits amongst both teams and only six errors, so it wasn't like it was just an error fest. It was,
right.
Offensively, we've been really good this year, and it's been easy to score runs. I think that was our biggest downfall on Monday night is we didn't hit the ball up to par like we usually had, and we still manufactured those runs, those three runs that we had to get and tie the game back up. It ended up being 3-3, but I think at the biggest point, we didn't have the offense that we needed in that moment, but overall, we've been hitting the ball really well, and I'm super pleased about that.
I'm over here adjusting for sound real quick because you're a whole lot louder than Derek is, and he's not modulating much, and you're over-modulating, so it's kind of...
I'll back it up.
I'm a soft-spoken person anyway.
Well, you notice over here on my mic, I'm a lot louder than Ken is, too, because he modulates a lot louder than I do also, so... We kind of adjust for that. Here, we've got two people on your mic. It's kind of a little
bit different. Know if I need to apologize or not.
No, it's just,
I'm just kidding.
It is what it is. We do that even radio games. It's just one mic's up
that's
louder.
That's the biggest thing that I've had to learn is just start talking louder. I've always been a quiet person growing up, even in high school and stuff. So, like, with teaching and with this coaching, I've got to learn how to get my voice louder. And I feel like I'm doing a better job of it, but I still got a ways to go. So
yeah, that's one of the things that when I was going through the education program at Eastern, was my voice management wasn't good. I was always too quiet, so that kind of got on me a little bit. I have to be more vocal because kids have got to hear you. So it's kind of like how you kind of do it yourself. I'm the same way you are. I think I'm kind of soft sometimes, but now I get excited. But now most of the time I'm soft-spoken as well.
Well, for me too, probably I'll explain it this way. I grew up with five other siblings. You had to speak up in order to be heard.
See, when this guy talks, he blows out the red. When you talk, it's like doesn't even modulate.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just kind of fun to watch. So I got somebody out there texting me, telling me how the sound levels are. So thank you very much for that. Playing 27 games, that's what you said you had on your schedule. How many have you got in this year?
15.
You're like everybody else. The weather has just kind of been nasty this year, I guess, for getting games in.
Yep, it's been crazy. We've only got had only two home games this year so far, the 15. So I appreciate the parents. They've probably been mad at me the whole season, but we've got a opportunity to play a lot of great teams, and we had a late entry into the conference, so it was kind of like we was at the mercy of those teams with the scheduling, so we had to go there a lot. But I appreciate the parents. They've been great. They've been there. They've been cheering, and they've done everything they can to help us win those ball games.
Well, obviously, even being on the road, it didn't necessarily affect your team in a sense, right? So, I mean, they were always prepared and ready to play.
Yeah, they were. I mean, for us to end up being 11-4 so far in the season against the teams that we've played, I mean, just playing on the road, they've done amazing.
I have a real quick question as far as expectations, Derek. As far as community, even us knowing here, again, it seems like baseball is the best program going right now overall, top to bottom. I think baseball has the best feeder program. More kids are involved in travel ball, plus the little league that they have here in town. What all has the community having all the new complexes at the city park and the kids playing travel ball, how much has that helped your kids develop?
That's been amazing, honestly, because instead of having to teach them the basics of baseball, you can have put more strategy and thought into the game instead of having to sit there and teach them how to receive a ball or how to cut off and stuff. Like, they already just know that, so it's a lot easier. You can go more advanced into what you're trying to teach them and what you're trying to coach and trying to win ball games.
So, see, I'm just going to use this as an example. He gets to do at the middle school level what I would love to do at the high school level. We just can't. Not that the middle school's not doing that, but those kids have to teach daily about the simple things. And some of the more complex things they can't get because you're still teaching basics at the middle school level. So, I applaud the local community, all the travel ball coaches, all the little league coaches for getting our baseball kids ready because, like I said, I think it's by far the best program going in the county right now.
Oh, for sure. I appreciate those coaches more than anything. They've taught them really well, and it's made my life a lot easier once they get to the middle school level.
Yeah, that definitely makes a difference when you have those basic fundamental skills that they've been able to work on. By the time you get them, it's like, okay, you know what they have, and it does make that transition a lot easier. And even going forward for your eighth graders going into the high school, as far as Coach Spencer, what he will have, he'll know that he has a group of kids that are knowledgeable in the sense of the game.
So I know this year, and I'll say it this way, I think, you know, Frank's got a really good group at the sophomore level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when those kids, this is just me thinking here, when those kids are seniors, juniors and seniors, if we have enough arms, I really think baseball is going to go way up. I think Powell County is going to be a feared team for the next, at minimum of 4 years. I think this is going to be one of the best and brightest sports we have.
I believe so, too. We didn't get to do this opportunity last year. I didn't think of it, but the group that I had last year that consisted of like Dylan Carter, he was contributing early before he got hurt at the high school level. And you have, like Chase Mollahan and Levi and Ryder. And I'm sure I'm missing a few others, but it's just that group. They were really talented themselves. And then you're putting these kids that's eighth graders going to be up there next year. The next 4 years, they're going to be pretty good. And that's another thing is if we have enough arms, they'd be competing for regions next 4 years.
I totally agree with that. And I think the next two, you could be really strong. And then what you're doing now to develop this eighth grade bunch by the time they're sophomores, you know, when they're freshman sophomore, I think maybe kind of a freshman sophomore led team by that time. But still, I think you're going to be able to compete with the Hazards, the Perrys, the Breathitts, the Knots, all the people that, and Essel. Can't forget Essel because I think they're always going to be right there where they are. I think other than Palkin, I think Essel probably has one of the strongest feeder systems as well, just like I think we do now here at Powell. I wish more of our groups would do kind of follow the footprint of baseball here in the county. But I think it kind of gets back to I think this has been, and don't shoot me basketball people, but it's kind of always kind of been a baseball town. It's just kind of – but that's the way I see it anyway.
Yeah, I believe so too. I just think the time and the effort that these these coaches at the Little League level, the travel level, they're just been putting a lot of time and effort into it, and it's just really paid off with the talent and the knowledge of the game that these kids have when they even get to the middle school level.
I think if anything, it's more of a consistency within the program, right, whether it's the feeder program, the middle school, into the high school. There's that consistency, and it's a different mentality as well within the baseball program than it is in some of the other sports, and I think that's why you find that success in some ways.
Well, I think in baseball, you look at the Little League, it runs about 3 months. Travel ball goes about 4 or 5. If you're playing that long, you're getting some basic information where we have, like, I think about the basketball Little League went, what, three or four weeks this year? You just don't have enough time to develop anybody, and then in softball, we've had maybe 30 kids sign up. It's just not enough to really be competitive and really dig in and teach what you need to teach. So, to me, if you're a girl and you're playing some of the co-ed with the Little League, you're picking up at least some basic information. So, I've always seen it this way when I'm coaching softball. All the girls that I've had that have played baseball usually have a little bit better understanding of, like, hitting, fielding, throwing than the kids that have come through the softball programs in the past. It's not a knock on anybody that's tried. It's just, I don't think the parent interest or even the player interest at the elementary level is where it needs to be, if that makes any sense.
I would agree with that.
Oh, I do. I agree, too. For example, my little sister, she's on the eighth grade softball team this year, and she enjoys softball, but I don't feel like when she was at a younger age that we pushed her, or maybe she wasn't as interested as she should have been if she wants to be good and the team success wants to be there. Because she didn't become interested into it until, like, I think maybe her sixth grade year. And it's almost it's not too late at that point, but it's going to be late. It's going to be hard to compete against those who's good in the region for 14th region.
Well, that's the thing about softball. Softball, to me, has blossomed here in the last 5 or 6 years. We've got teams that 5 years ago were terrible. Now are competitive every year. So now, instead of, like, four teams always competing for a regional title, and maybe just sometimes it's two or three, but you have now like eight teams battling for the top four spots.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that is growth in the game. We've just got a little bit further behind because our kids aren't playing travel, aren't doing the little things they need to do to build that consistency like you're talking about. It's just we don't play enough. We don't put enough emphasis on, I guess, maybe female sports being as important for whatever reason, it's just kind of a, I don't know, to me it's kind of where we are in time. But I don't think anybody, and this, I've said this for, what, 20 years, baseball to me is probably the number one supported sport here in the county. I think everybody pushes basketball like it's huge, but we've really never been that successful in basketball, and I always have been in the sport of baseball.
I think even going back to the girls in a sense, I think when they're in elementary school, I think it goes more along the lines of the cheerleading and the gymnastics, mm-hmm. and you're not necessarily promoting softball, you know, even volleyball to that extent until you get to that middle school grade.
Well, now soccer now has come in, and you've probably seen a difference here too. Soccer's come in, and a lot of the kids are wanting to play soccer. And I'm not knocking soccer at all, but I think it's kind of taken a little bit of the oomph out of softball. Probably then baseball, maybe a little bit, but most of those kids that are playing soccer, most of those weren't playing baseball anyway. Mm-hmm. Baseball is kind of a, your parents loved it, you love it too, and we're going to go out and play every day. That's just kind of that's how I feel like baseball was or has been, at least, especially since Charlie Childers coached here. And I think even long before him, I think baseball was still the sport here in Powell County.
I would agree with that. Let me ask you this real quick as far as your staff. So who do you actually have assistant coaches that actually help you on a regular basis?
I have Brian Markham and Lee Jets. That's the only two that's been able to help this year so far, and they've been great. I couldn't ask for a better staff. They're very knowledgeable about the game, and the kids really have received them really well, and I appreciate everything that they've done this year.
Let me ask you a question. Do you call the pitches, or who calls your pitches for you?
I try to. I don't know if I'm any good at it, but sometimes Drew Miller is my catcher, and he has played with Lacey and Ethan a lot, and sometimes I let him call his own pitches because I trust him that much to do it.
Well, I bet on the flip side, and we've seen this even like in college and pros, there's so few catchers now that actually understand how to call a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rarity that you can have a kid that knows that. That's good.
And that's been huge. And and it's back to those travel coaches. He plays for the Knights, and Colton King is the coach. I'm not sure who else helps. I'm sure they have assistant coaches. But it's just him being that knowledgeable about the game, knowledgeable about those kids that he's played with so many times, that it's just easy to let him go and call it himself. That way, if coaches do try to steal your signs, even though you don't, they shouldn't be. But
part of the game.
It's part of it.
Yeah.
But we don't have that problem because he's calling it, and I don't have to worry about doing it. That's one less thing that's off my plate because I trust him enough to do it.
Well, that just goes back to the knowledge, and we've talked about that as well. When kids know the game of baseball, basketball, whatever it might be, when they're tuned in like that, it makes it easier for them to even play the game because now they know scenarios. There's somebody over at first, and all of a sudden, you know, there's one out. You know, the ball's hitting the infield. I know, second, you know, it's hit to the shortstop, second baseman, you have to cover. Let's try and turn a double play. And sometimes when they don't have that knowledge, in a sense, as far as what the scenarios possibly might be, that's where you kind of get into some trouble, in a sense, and errors happen.
Errors are always going to happen. It's just part
They're
of the game.
They are going to happen. You're exactly right.
On Monday night against Scott County in the conference tournament, we ended up, like I said, offensively, we've been really good this year, I believe. And we only ended up mustering three hits, and we had five errors. Those errors probably came back to hurt us, and that's why that one-run game went the other way instead of our way because of those small mistakes. I believe that team only had three or four hits also. It wasn't like there was many hits. So those, they had one error, we had five. So that difference right there could have changed the outcome of the game.
Errors and walks tend to beat you in any sport you're playing, with baseball, softball. If your team is making more errors than the other team or walking more people than the other team, you're probably coming out on the L side.
Especially the leadoff hitter.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you construct your lineup. Probably need to take a break. But anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back in a moment. I always get behind on breaks when we interview people. So
We do, don't we?
We'll step away for a break here and come back more with Derek and the players here on WSKV and PCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Community, what does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guarantee Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guarantee Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guarantee Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. And we are joined by Powell County Middle School baseball head coach, Derek Robinson. And he's got some of his players with him. And got a couple little things we need to clean up with Derek, and then we'll get to the players.
Yeah, let's go forward in a sense. So now, where are you at in your season, and what's the upcoming week look like for you?
Of course, we just finished the conference tournament. So now we're going to move into the end of our schedule. And this week and next week, we move into playing our, of course, our biggest rival twice in a short amount of time. Tomorrow, we play at Estill County. And then next week, we start a home stretch for once on the season. We have our eighth grade night on Monday night against Clark Moore. And then we play Estill on Thursday at home. And then we play Paintsville on Friday. That's a big game. That team's been doing really well. I've been keeping up with them. I'm friends with their coach on Facebook, so I see a lot of their stuff that they post on there. So that's going to be a big opportunity and a big chance for a big win to close out our season. And then we play on the road next Saturday against Simons Middle, and they are in Fleming County.
I have a real quick question. You guys are playing, what is your game, six innings?
Five-inning
games?
Five.
And do you have the same pitching limits? What are your pitching limits as far as per game?
In the conference, we have a max of 85 pitches that a pitcher can throw.
Okay, so you're playing five innings and 85 pitches per week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, once you get to the 85 pitches, you're off for 3 days.
Okay, so it's three days.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a certain amount for 1 day rest, 2 day rest. I can't think of it off the top of my head. I have it on a little piece of paper. I keep
similar protocol, but to the high school level, just a little bit fewer pitches probably for the middle school guys.
So I guess they're just trying to protect their arm more at this younger of an age, especially in the conference.
Makes perfect sense. Do you have those restrictions as far as your non-conference games?
I should just stick to that. So I just wanted to keep what the conference tells me to do, and I don't try to go over the 85 pitches. None of the kids hardly have reached that number this year, so it hasn't came into play really.
I got one more thing. You already played your conference tournament. How did you all do in the tournament?
Well,
did we go over that?
Yeah,
I missed it.
Well, you did. I can explain. I can explain again. We went 7-3. We just this year. I don't know if it's every year. This is our first year back in the conference. We had to just play at least every team once, and there's 11 teams counting us. So we had 10 conference games actually counted for the conference standings. So we went 7-3. And like I said, we played a lot of really good teams, teams out of Scott County, Georgetown, Bourbon.
Same Bluegrass Conference.
Yeah, back in, right? Before, yep. So we played a lot of good teams. We finished 7-3. We was the 3 seed in the conference tournament. We some of the teams didn't get to play all 10 games, so they took a win and a loss. So a lot of the seeding was changed up, especially at the bottom half. So some teams might have been a little bit lower than they really should have. But we ended up playing Scott County in the first round, and we didn't hit the ball, like I said earlier, like we normally do. And we ended up losing 4-3. But like I said, the season's not a failure just because we didn't reach the goal of what we set out to do as the win of the conference. But we still have to finish strong and make a statement to Estill County that the next 4 years are going to be rough when you all playing these kids right here.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's how you get
so
it.
So that's our next goal, is just setting a example of how the next 4 years of these games are going to go.
All right. I think so. We got some players eager to talk to us, right?
Yep.
All right, so introduce who you have here. We'll just go through the line, and then when they step up, they can let us know who they are. But who do we have with us?
We got a few of the 13 eighth graders with me. I got Bryson Edwards, Drew Miller, Lacey Dickin, Jackson Tipton, and Ethan Wireman. So that's
he was pointing at different people, and I was getting confused on who he was pointing at there for a second. I'm just teasing.
I think they're a little bit nervous.
Don't be nervous. Nobody can see you.
I said it was good practice because once they get in the high school level, I think they get interviewed a little bit more amongst stuff during sports. So I thought it'd be good practice for them to do it in middle school.
Well, I know I've had some of these guys. I've suffered with some of them, and I don't think they're that shy about talking in class.
They're not shy at practice either, so that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, who wants to step up? Tell us your name again and what position you play.
My name is Drew Miller, and I'm the catcher for the varsity 8th grade team.
You still catch with that cast on?
I mean, I can try.
What did you do to your thumb?
So in the first round of the conference, I went up to block a ball that was getting thrown in from the outfield, and when I went to block it, my glove slipped off, I guess, and I put, like, all my force on my thumb, bent it back too far, and I fractured it.
Not a fun injury, right?
No, not really.
So how long have you actually been playing baseball at this point?
I've been playing baseball for 10, 11 years. I've been playing ever since, like, instructional T-ball league.
Okay, and what attracted you to be a catcher, and did you play any other positions?
So first I started off in the outfield, you know, picking flowers out in the outfield playing T-ball. And then I started travel ball in kindergarten, and my coach, Lee Jett, he just stuck me back there at catcher, and ever since I just fell in love with it.
What is it about catching, though, that's kind of attractive to you? What was it when you put on the equipment and stood back in there that drew you in?
Well, at first, I really wanted to quit because I just didn't, I don't know, I got too hot back there. But then once I got older and you just got more involved in it, just you're involved in every play and, you know, getting to throw people out every time.
You're in charge of the game behind the plate, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have anybody as far as professionally that you kind of look up to as far as kind of mimic your game after?
Well, my favorite player is Yadier Molina.
Excellent.
He's a Cardinals fan, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I love the Cardinals. Oh,
even better.
Well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I look up to Yadier Molina. He's, I mean, you know, best defensive catcher ever, you know.
I would agree with that.
Especially
exactly
during
right.
your generation.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
For sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So as far as hitting, how would you describe your aggressiveness at the plate?
Well, I mean, I get on base however I can, and for a catcher, I mean, I'm pretty aggressive on the base pass. I've only got thrown out maybe once in the past 3 years, maybe. I'd say I'm pretty fast for a catcher.
You haven't slowed down much for being too much catching yet, right?
Oh, no.
Give it 6 years, you'll slow down some.
I don't plan on it.
Exactly. Good attitude.
Good, exactly good right.
Yeah, good attitude. As far as your teammates and your all's camaraderie and, you know, the whole concept of team, how would you describe that for you all?
Oh, it's like a brotherhood in that dugout. I mean, every single game we are up in the dugout, I mean you'll hear every single at bat people cheering, every single play we're cheering. We're just up for each other. We're just cheering everybody on. It's like a brotherhood.
Yeah, as far as a whole team wise, do you guys play against each other at some travel teams, or all of you play together?
Most of us are on the Knights. Most of us play on the Knights. There's like a couple that play down for like our starting second baseman. He's on seventh grade. He plays down for I think the KBA Prime. I'm not sure, but most of us do play on the Knights. Yeah.
It helps you all at least know each other better. That's good going forward.
Oh, yeah.
So as far as that chemistry, would you say that, you know, when a certain play happens, everybody almost knows the reaction and how to move in a sense where you're, you know, that nonverbal communication, but you're still able to communicate because you know that somebody's going to back you up in a sense?
Oh, yeah. We all know where everybody's going to be. We all know what everybody's going to do.
Makes it a whole lot easier when that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Joel, you got any teammates you want to go next?
I'll call out Lacey. Okay. He's my pitcher.
Why you call out Lacey? You got any shout-outs you want to give to anybody listening to us?
I just want to shout out my mom. I just love my mom.
Moms are always good shout-outs.
Yeah, Lacey. I've been catching Lacey ever since Kid Pitch ever happened. I mean, he's my pitcher. I'm his catcher.
All right. Moving forward.
Nice job. All right, so with you at this point, how long have you actually been pitching, and what kind of attracted you to be a pitcher?
I've been pitching since I, you know, stepped in the Kid Pitch, and kind of what attracted me to becoming a pitcher was I've always grew up watching Clayton Kershaw. He's always been like my idol when it comes to pitching, so that's kind of where I wanted to be a pitcher.
You lefty or righty?
Righty.
Was there any other positions, in a sense, that you played or, you know, that had an interest, or was it kind of always been pitching?
Usually when I don't pitch, I either play third or outfield. And my favorite player, personally, is Bryce Harper, and he's a starting right fielder for the Philadelphia Phillies, and I've always looked up to him for baseball.
How would you describe your aggressiveness at the plate?
Every time I go up to play, I'm looking to swing. I usually never sit there and watch strikes. I'm just trying to get on base.
As far as pitching, what's your favorite pitch, you know, in a sense, and or what do you even have in your bag of pitches?
My favorite pitch to probably throw lately has probably been my knuckle curve. I throw probably four different pitches. I throw a four-seam, knuckle curve, change, circle change, and a forkball.
That's a
impressive.
Lot. So say that one more time while I was rudely over at texting.
I throw a four-seam fastball, knuckle curve, circle change, and a forkball.
So at least three different off-speed pitches off your fastball, right?
Yes.
They don't have you throwing two-seam fastball yet?
I do throw a two-seam, but not as much as my four-seam.
I got you. More movement, right?
Yeah.
That's not bad. So let me ask you this. On the mound, let's say, for instance, you give up, you know, your team gives up a run or something, or even maybe an error or something like that, and you're on the mound. Mentally, how do you make that adjustment to focus on the next player that's come up to the plate?
I usually just try to shake it off the best I can. I look whoever made that play or whatever, just tell them to shake it off and just go for the next ball that's hit to you or make the next play that's for you, basically.
So when you're going through an inning, someone makes an error, Is it more impactful on you when you have someone make an error behind you, or is it more impactful on you when you walk somebody yourself and that's your own error? Which one bothers you the most?
Probably when someone in the field makes an error, just because like it kind of gets that, like kind of puts the team down a little bit when someone actually makes an error in the field, because you got everybody watching. Yeah. And everything, and I feel like a walk. I mean, yeah, that still sucks to happen, but probably an error on the field is probably worse.
I got you. I was just checking. But I know both of them can be killers. It doesn't matter. As a coach, I hate a walk. I just despise them.
So let me ask you this. Outside of the ball field, do you guys still hang out with each other outside of baseball?
Yes. I have about every single one of them over at my house almost like all the time, honestly. And, I mean, we love hanging around each other. Like, it's like a brotherhood when we're around each other.
That's awesome. It really is.
Oh, that's you will find this out later in life that the best friends you ever have are probably with you right now. I mean, it's just like some of my lifelong best friends are my former high school baseball teammates. I can still call those guys anytime, any problem I have, and have a conversation with those guys. So, yeah, stick with this group.
Yeah, nice job. All right, let's move along. And who else do we have? Who do you want to call out?
Get Bryson Edwards up here. He's my starting shortstop.
All right, let me ask you this, because we didn't ask you this. Any shout-outs to anybody that's listening?
My mom, my dad, and my brother, I all love them, and probably Drew, because, I mean, he's been my catcher since day one. I couldn't ask for anybody else better behind that plate.
All right, nice job. Know. All right, who are you calling out again?
Bryson Edwards.
All right.
Shortstop.
No pressure, Edwards.
Hey, I'm Bryson Edwards, and I'm the starting shortstop.
Okay, so how long have you been shortstop?
I've been playing shortstop ever since I've got into baseball, ever since T-ball.
Okay. Any other positions?
I pitch a little bit.
A little bit. Maybe probably need to pitch a bit more on what you're doing, right? So next year, I got a question for you. Next year, high school's got a guy, he's what's his name? Cam Del Rosario or something like that?
Yeah, so I think that's that guy's name.
I'm just playing. Yeah. Are you planning on taking that guy's spot?
I know Cam's pretty good, so I guess I'll just have to see if I can outwork him.
There you go. See, like the attitude.
Yeah. Or change spots, one of the two, right? So if you don't want to change spot, Cam, you're getting off my spot. That's what you need to say.
Go and prove yourself, right?
There you go. I like it.
So as far as pitching, you know, is it more of a relief situation as far as any, you know, pitching for yourself?
Yeah, I'm usually a reliever.
Okay, and as far as pitching, what pitches do you have in your bag?
I have a fastball, curve, and a knuckle.
So really, the only two pitches you need are just, really you only need one, a good fastball, right? If you got a good changeup, some off-speed pitch, what's your best off-speed, the curve or the knuckle?
Knuckle.
Faster catcher, he'd tell me, right? It's the knuckle. Yeah, they're going with you. Yeah, it's the knuckle.
So as far as baseball, what even attracted you? Do you play any other sports, or is baseball kind of the main thing for you?
I play basketball, too.
Yeah, you actually got to come up and play a little bit of freshman JV ball this year, didn't you?
Yeah.
What's your favorite sport, then?
Butt
got him here.
Easy question. Tough one. Yeah, be honest. Honesty is the best policy.
Probably basketball. Yeah.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
No. Just remember what your spring sport is. That's the main thing.
There you go. As far as a favorite professional player or somebody that you idolize? Favorite team?
Oh, Braves.
Braves fan.
Were you a Freddie Freeman fan?
Yeah.
Dang, he's
hate to see him go.
Yeah. I like Acuna, too.
Acuna's a good one to like. He's a good player.
Yeah, you're exactly right. All right, let's move along here.
You got shout-outs?
Yeah, there you go.
Just really my family.
You better, because they would probably be mad at you if you didn't.
Yeah.
All right, who you want to call out over here?
Jackson Tipton.
He shook his head he didn't want to talk or something. You ain't. Right? You know, I know you ain't quiet, Jackson. Yeah, I mean, I know the kid ain't quiet. Don't even act like it, son.
My name is Jackson.
Yeah.
And what position do you play?
I play everywhere.
Hey, Jackson, talk louder.
I play everywhere.
Yeah.
Utility player.
Yep. He's louder than this. I know him. He's louder than this.
Don't be shy. Nobody's really watching. So
they're listening out here, though, I know, because they're sitting in the car right in front of us. So.
Yeah, I play everywhere.
Okay, any favorite position, though, that you have? One that you like to play more than others?
Probably outfield.
Okay.
Which spot?
Left or right. I don't really care.
So why left or right? What?
I like it better because you get more balls hit out there normally.
This is a weird question. I have kids that come up and just don't like the outfield because they think it's where you put bad players. I totally disagree with that, and you're one of the first kids I've ever heard come up and say, I like the outfield. So tell me why kids don't necessarily like the outfield.
I don't really know. I mean, I just know how to track a ball really good. So.
And that, by the way, is something that's God's gifts, not necessarily that you can always develop. If you can track it, you can play it.
Yeah.
I couldn't track it. So a right-handed batter comes up, he's probably going to hook the ball to the left or slice it to the right. Which one's harder to play?
I'm going to say probably left, because you also got to call off center field. If you go to right, then I mean, you're just out there.
Yeah, kind of. You're kind of burned on your own.
Yeah.
Usually left center field or shading toward left. Yeah. Is that what your guys are doing? Who plays center for you all?
Eli King.
So, I mean, a corner outfielder to me has got the toughest balls coming because you got those corners hooking and slicing away from you. It's a hard catch to make. Yeah. So I was just kind of surprised you said left or right. But yeah. Good. I like the answers though.
How long have you been playing?
10 years.
Okay.
You haven't always played the outfield though, right?
Huh. I played a little bit in T-ball and stuff like that. But I played third pretty much all my little league years and stuff like that.
See, and sometimes it takes somebody to move you to the outfield to figure out that you can track a ball.
Yeah.
That's kind of – you have to kind of find those players. And I know Derek is probably one of those kids too that, like, I couldn't track a ball. I mean, that's just something I couldn't do. Some kids have a knack for it, and you got to put them out there. I mean, that's just kind of
yeah.
the way it is, right?
That's right.
I mean,
how would you describe your arm? Let's say, for instance, you know, a guy on first or something, and you know he's running to second, and at that point, how would you say kind of your accuracy and or your strength?
It's pretty good. I think I got a good shot at it. I think I got him every time.
Now, at that point, in a sense, let's say, for instance, that you're in left field, guy's going to second, and your throw, you know, accurate right to the second baseman makes the tag getting him out. How does that make you feel, in a sense, knowing you made a play along with the second baseman?
It makes me feel good, but I feel more happy for my second baseman than me because I just like cheering my teammates up.
I tell you what, and that you're talking about a really tough play there. Second baseman, number one's got his back to the runner. It's a really tough play to get a tag down on a guy coming in, so you're exactly right. It's a tough play for him. You got to make a good throw to get that spot.
Yeah.
So don't forget to reward yourself a little bit, too, in that celebration.
You're exactly right. All right, so favorite player or team?
I like Cincinnati Reds.
So there we go. I got excited. He's another Reds
you,
fan.
You did. You're
yeah,
exactly
we
right.
We sucked this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's different how? Yeah, I'm just teasing.
That's true. We do suck this year, though. Owner traded everybody away.
I know, and as a Cardinals fan, I actually hate that because I feel like that when the Central and the Reds are relevant, it's better for the Central Division.
You can tell I'm a Reds fan, too. It's just a rough year for us.
So what about favorite player?
Joey Votto.
Yeah.
Good one. Yeah. You can't go wrong with Joey Votto.
He's my favorite one left. All my other favorites are gone.
I think he is the only one left.
But you're right. He probably is. I like Jonathan India, too, though. He's a good player. I'm going to be a good player.
Shout out to anybody listening.
My mom. And my dad, they always push me to do better. And my papa and my mama.
Any other sports?
Basketball.
Okay. Have a preference?
Basketball.
Basketball?
Really? Well, huh. Like, you still riding horses?
A little bit.
Just a little bit? Baseball kind of wearing you down, can't ride as much?
Yeah.
I know I get out of there, too, so.
There you go.
All right, man. Thanks, Jackson.
Who are you going to call out?
Ethan Wireman.
Last but not least?
What's up, E?
Hey.
What position are you playing?
I play first, and I pitch, too.
Okay. Have a preference of positions?
I like pitching a little bit better.
Okay. And as far as pitches in your bag, what do you got?
I throw a four-seam fastball, a two-seam fastball, a changeup, and a curveball.
And to me, for a middle school player, that's plenty.
Yeah. Agreed.
What's your best pitch?
Usually it just depends on the day, but here lately it's been my curveball or my changeup.
If you can operate those two pitches with a little bit of a fastball, you can dominate a game. I mean, just learn how to pitch, right? I mean, it's pitching and throwing two different things, right?
Yeah.
So what attracted you to pitching?
I'm not really sure. I just got up there one time and I did decent, so I just stuck with it.
Okay. As far as first base, what's the appeal of playing first?
When I was in Little League, I used to play third and on the big field in Clay City. But when we got to the Little League field in Stanton, my arm was too strong, so because I was overthrowing everybody, so I just moved to first because I could catch real good.
So you have better control on the mound than you do when you're playing a position.
Yeah.
I got you.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely do.
Especially on that four-seamer, it'll sail a bit on you.
So as far as your team and everything, how would you kind of describe the season that you all have had?
We've had a good season. I'm a little bit disappointed in how we performed in conference tournament because nobody was really hitting the ball like amazing how we have been. But as of a season, we've been doing pretty good.
You win every game you can is the main thing, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about the engineers? Got them tomorrow, right?
I feel like we'll beat them. I feel like it's going to be a good game.
Think they're listening to us right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. If they're not, they can later.
Isn't that the truth? What about favorite team or favorite player?
My favorite team's the Padres, and I like Fernando Tatis.
If you're a Padres fan, I would say you have to like Fernando, right?
Yeah.
Think he'll ever get his shoulder fixed?
I don't know. He's been an injury.
He would be good for baseball if that thing gets healthy.
Yeah.
Because he is a phenomenal player.
Well, just even the West, the National League West is
a phenomenal division.
Yeah, they are. And we same thing as last year. Yeah. You know, I mean, it just strong all the way down in a sense.
Yeah.
Any shout outs to anybody listening?
My mom, my dad, and my sister. They've just kept pushing me to be better and be the best I can at baseball.
Your dad's sitting right here in the lobby too, right?
Yeah.
Biggest fan, is he?
Some days.
Has he helped you a lot with the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to have somebody in your corner like that, though, right, that can, you know, help you along in a sense, whether it's mentally and or, you know, working on the game as far as your knowledge.
Yeah.
All right, man. So, appreciate it. Good luck. Beat those nears tomorrow night, right?
I will.
All right. Good luck, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
We'll take a break while Ethan's getting out of here. We'll get Derek back on and let them go as well. So, take a break here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Are you ready for warm weather and a little sunshine? The Appalachian Wireless team has decided to have the ultimate spring break event. A sale so big with so many savings opportunities, you'll be thinking it's Christmas in April. The spring break event is going on now through the end of April, and all smartphones are on sale with Appalachian Advantage. Spring into an Appalachian Wireless retail location or visit us on the web to see what deals have sprung at our spring break event. We know what you want because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Welcome back, and we are now being joined with Derek Robinson, head coach of the Powell County Middle School. How long have you wanted to get into coaching, just kind of a thinking back?
Honestly, when I was playing baseball, I never thought about it. I had this crazy go of maybe in middle school, I had a crazy go of going to college and playing baseball. I mean, I didn't think it was a crazy go at the time, of course, but when you get to that point when you're a senior, you realize not many people get the opportunity to go play college baseball. And I might have could have went and played somewhere small or something, but I decided just to go to Morehead State and just get my degree in education and come back and teach. And then once I got in college and I knew that I was going to become a teacher, it gave me a opportunity to maybe I want to do coaching because it gives you a good pathway into coaching if you're a teacher. Usually.
Correct, yeah.
Well, in Powell County, historically, that's only people that ever were coaches were the teachers.
Well, up until a couple of years ago when they changed the law, in a sense, yeah, as far as who could.
Well, that law has been in existence for a long time, but for Powell County's purposes, it was always certified first, then someone else. But you look at the coaching roster now, and it's really only maybe four or five coaches, head coaches, that are actually teachers. Everybody else is... Well, like me, I'm not a certified teacher anymore. I'm retired. So there's a lot of us that aren't teaching anymore. We're just, you know, out of the mix. But a lot of the coaches now are not actually certified teachers, which I got pros and cons with that personally, but that's just a me thing.
Yeah, I completely understand. I'm going to say this real quick. There's no doubt, just based on those short interviews that we had with your players, that is a solid core group of guys, and I know that not everybody showed up in a sense, or you know, but with the group that we just talked to and everything, you can tell that that's a solid group. The camaraderie, the brotherhood in a sense, and several of them ended up saying that, and you can tell just even since here in the studio you felt that in a sense. Yeah. Like it wasn't just words that they were speaking, in a sense they really felt like that, and obviously that bodes well for the Pirates going forward.
Well, you could even tell when the others were doing the interviews, you could tell in the background they were paying attention to what the other one were saying.
Yeah.
And even making fun of maybe for a couple of times, but they had each other's backs. That was obvious.
Yeah, nice job, young man, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're a great group of boys. It's been a pleasure coaching them. It's crazy that we've already made it almost to the end of the season. We've not got to play as many games as, of course, I'd like to, but Frank's got a good group coming up, and I look for many great things, especially when you add him on to the other kids that's already up there right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I look for many special things to happen, and I'm ready to be part of the ride, just watching and just seeing how they do. In the
real quick question. I know some of Frank's plans for next year includes a separate varsity JV schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So how much have you all talked about that kind of thing, or are you in that mix with that, or is it just going to be regular middle school?
I'm honestly not sure. We've talked about the opportunity to go up and help at the next level next year. I've gave it some thought, and we still have to have some more discussion about it and figure out what the plans are and how we want to do that. But I just feel like that will benefit the kids. The more they get to play, maybe not as a freshman, you might not get to play varsity, of course.
Correct.
So the more games you get to play, even if it's just JV, you're getting those reps in, you're getting a better opportunity to get better, you're giving yourself more opportunities to let Coach Spencer see you.
Yeah.
And then maybe you get into that varsity game if you're hitting well in the JV game. So if they have a full schedule, you're getting more reps, you're getting those more opportunities than you might not if we put it on the back burner and you're just getting two games every couple of weeks or so.
This is something we did in the past. We actually did this for like maybe 3 years between 90 and 92, maybe 89 and 91, where we had a separate JV schedule. And I was a JV coach, and I'm telling you, the freshmen that we had coming up and the sophomores that we had and the juniors and seniors, it was going to be really difficult for the freshmen and sophomores to get any reps. So instead of coming up and getting and sitting, man, I tell you what, I think Powell County had some of the best baseball in that time because we were playing a separate schedule where these kids got up and played.
And I really think, personally, whenever I was a freshman, that was a team that went to state, that won the region. So that team was loaded. You weren't going to get an opportunity
Correct.
To play as a freshman, sophomore. So if we had that kind of then.
How much better would you have been as seniors?
We would have been a lot better. I mean, we still won 30 games my senior year. We won a lot of games. But I just feel like maybe we'd have won that region title game my senior year instead of losing it if we had maybe had those extra few games.
Sure.
When you get to that level, it's about how many times you had that opportunities in the past. It's kind of learning how to win, and then you know how to win. Then you take it to a different level. If you're successful at a JV level, doesn't always mean you're going to be successful at varsity. But I know I lost a couple of players to Coach Combs when he was the head coach. He saw a couple of my kids play. Said, "Okay, they're mine now. You've lost them because they did some spectacular performances." James Randall was one of those kids that I lost in a game because he made a spectacular catch in the outfield. That was the last catch he made JV-wise. He came up and played varsity after that. So that's the kind of thing you're talking about. Sometimes you get opportunities that you may not normally get. It's just like we talked to your shortstop about coming in beating Cam. Cam's one of the better players we've had in a long time. It's going to be very hard to come up and play and beat out Cam at that position. I liked his attitude, though. I want to try. You know, that's how you get it done.
And if you have those younger kids pushing those other ones,
They get better. Correct.
You don't want them to come in there and just, I mean, take it easy on those older kids. You want them to push them and try to strive to be the starters because it makes the whole team better.
Yes.
So that's what I feel like this group of boys, I have 13 eighth graders. I hope they all go back up or all go when they get to high school, play baseball. Every single position will be pushed next year just because those kids will be there wanting to get their spots. Even if they're freshmen, they don't care. They want to win and they want to play.
Well, think of it this way. You got 13 kids. That means they're pushing each other to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're already over the 9 mark that plays, mm-hmm. So they're already pushing. So competitiveness on your team makes your team better. When you go up, you do the same thing. And I tell you, baseball's got some fun stuff ahead.
Oh, for
they
sure.
They really do.
And I think those big groups, when you have a bunch of kids that play together and move up through the ranks all the way up to their senior, you have more success as a team. I just feel like those big groups, they bond over time. They play together. They know what they can do and what they can't do, and they play to their strengths once they get to the juniors, seniors, or whenever they start playing all together at the same time.
Only thing I ask that group, if they're still listening to us or go back and listen to it later, is be patient. When you do move up, don't expect to maybe start the very first game out. Be patient. Own your time. Stay with it for the course of the time. Don't just come out and get frustrated at the beginning and go home. Just stay out, come out, and work hard and get better.
I think that's the biggest thing is, like, one kid that you played with your whole life might get the opportunity before you do because of a certain position or certain skill set. Don't let that put you down and you're mentally check out because you think you might not be good enough because he gets to play and I don't as a freshman or sophomore. That was a big thing, I guess, personally for me whenever I was in high school because maybe one kid that I played with that I thought, well, maybe I'm better than them. Or
you may be, but it's a different position,
right? It was a different position and different. He had a different skill set. He had the opportunity to maybe pitch or something, and I wasn't a pitcher. So, I mean, you just have to mentally know that their coach is trying to win games, and they're trying to put the best person out there to win those games. And maybe at that point, they don't need what you do, but they need what they do. I'm just trying
to me, out of the whole mix right there, to me, the best person to move up and play earlier, and I don't even know their skill sets, but when you take, like, Jackson Tipton came in and said, I can play the outfield. One of five said primarily they like the outfield. They'll go out there and play. To me, they got the biggest upper hand. There's three outfield spots.
Mm-hmm.
There's one first baseman, one shortstop. There's one third baseman, one catcher, one pitcher at a time. I mean, there are obviously multiple pitchers, but if you're an outfielder, and you've got three openings for you every time. So to want to be an outfielder, you're already ahead of the game because that's, like I said, sometimes you can't convince kids that outfield's important play.
And I think that speaking of those particular skill sets, I think – we talked about to Lacey. Lacey is a really good pitcher. He throws they clocked him earlier in the year at 78 as an eighth grader.
It's pretty good.
So he throws it pretty good. So I feel like that skill set can translate once he's a freshman because you always need pitching.
Yeah.
And Ethan's the same way. He throws it pretty good too, and he has a bunch of off speed, and he can throw it and be very competitive. And I think even as a freshman, maybe for those off games that against somebody that might not be
– this group – at the varsity level right now, needs that next year to become that much better.
Oh, yeah.
That's, agreed.
That
absolutely
is what they need is more depth on the pitching end. So when you're restricted to innings and you're restricted to the number of pitches that you get per week, you got to have 6-7 guys throw. And I don't think really the high school team has that. And then when you get to tournament time, you got to have at least three studs usually to get through a district and region. So those guys can also get there pretty quick, like you say, if they got a pretty good skill set.
And even like Bryson or I have Tucker Ramsey, they have the capability of becoming those mid-inning pitchers or what you need, the closers, maybe if you're up by a few runs and you have a secure lead. But I feel like those guys can fill in, even as a freshman, with the right coaching and the right direction with their skill set. I feel like they can be contributors next year, definitely at the JV level, since we're going to have a full JV schedule. They'll be contributors. I feel like they all could be.
Yeah, and that makes that group so much better in 2 years when they're sophomores and juniors and they're ready to compete. They're ready to go in there and play versus been sitting for 2 years and not seeing a pitch, whatever the situation. But we're very infrequently and just kind of get burned out on the game when you're doing that. So I think Frank's got a good plan in place. If we can stick to it and the finances are there and the buses are still there and then, you know, the trips. Like tomorrow, I know tomorrow was a day where it was almost an athletic trip canceled tomorrow because there's so many bus drivers out that we couldn't hardly take trips tomorrow. So it was going to be tough finding buses tomorrow.
That was going to be a problem yesterday. If we would have won against Scott County on Monday night.
Play tomorrow?
We would have played Tuesday, yesterday.
Yeah.
And they wasn't a bus for us, so we was going to have our parents drive us there, which I'm sure they would be happy to drive us because it's tournament time. But it's just that's a situation that's going to keep arising because of the shortage of bus drivers and even umpires. We've had to.
Yeah.
I couldn't extend the season any longer after next week because tournament time is getting ready to start for high school and high school games are going on. So there's a shortage of umpires. So, like, the season for me, since I didn't have that set in stone at the beginning of the season when they put the schedule out, I couldn't really extend my schedule.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Right? And the number of officials since the beginning of the season went down in this region. So I know I looked at Amber's, the arbiter, today, and she only gets one per game. And when they have to go up, she loses a game. Probably this kind of similar for you, too, I would assume.
We've not had a problem with that so far, but I look for that once it gets closer, maybe next week, there might be a problem. But I hope not, since we have a bunch of home games. These kids deserve home games. We've not had many. We've only had two. Most of our home games have been rained out. We didn't have many to begin with. it's just the unfortunate thing with the time, with the rain and then the shortages of umpires. It is what it is at this point. We just have to deal with it, and I just want to play as much as possible to get these kids ready to go up to the next
level.
We just
got to convince more people to come out and be umpires. Really, I mean.
That and bus drivers. Either one. There's two jobs. I mean, he's looking for one, you know, once that responsibility.
Just, you know, when you only have, I think, 29 officials for baseball and softball in this region, and you're playing, there's 14, 15 schools playing every night.
Not enough to go around.
There's not enough people.
What region is Bourbon County in?
Bourbon's 10th.
That is who our officials are through, because we're through the Bluegrass, and that's who the commissioner is through, is Bourbon County.
That's why you have two usually. Amber's going with 14th, and that's why she's short.
So maybe we've benefited from that a little bit this year.
I know she's lost at least one game because her umpire got pulled. And that just, you know, the field's ready to play, and then you can't play because of, you know, just like I said, one official, and 14's got some issues. We just need more people.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Let me say this, too, as far as like what you all had kind of spoke about as far as the team going forward. If by chance these players, they come out next year, they're not necessarily playing a lot as freshmen, continue to work on your skill set in season, out of season, in a sense, and continue to prove that you deserve that and continue to work hard and beat somebody out. You know, in professional sports, they're single A, double A, triple A, professional. At that point, there's different levels, in a sense, of skill sets, and you work your way up before you can finally make it to that pro. So, again, don't be discouraged or anything. Continue to work hard, saying, I'm worthy, I have the skill set, I believe in myself, and eventually that will pay dividends for you.
Usually there's always the pecking order, but you got to be patient with it.
Yeah.
You just got to kind of understand the process, and that's just kind of how it works. It's always kind of worked that way, unless you're just an absolute stud when you come up. It's going to be very infrequent playing time, so you got to be careful with that, which is why I'm tickled to death Frank's decided to maybe play just a JV varsity split schedule, which makes it tough on the coaching staff, but better for the players.
Well, and if anything, too, as far as the upperclassmen, to continue to encourage those underclassmen in the sense that, hey, you're good, you deserve to be on our team, you know, continue to be patient, because sometimes a lot of those players have had to wait.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of seniors on this year's team either, do we?
No. Nope.
Maybe
three.
I believe so. So
when you're losing three and getting 13, that's like we got to fix something somewhere, and that's why you almost have to have that plan in place. If not, you're going to maybe lose a whole group of kids. And like I said, I think they're going to be really good when they're sophomores, juniors, and seniors. So you can't just sit and do the same. You got to change a few things up, which I think is a good plan.
Yeah, again, impressed with this young group of players in a sense, and good luck the rest of the way.
Nice job this season. You've done great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll take a break.
Take a break here on PCS and I. Back in a moment.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Big thank you to Derek Robinson and the five eighth-grade players that he had in here. And I do think their future is bright, and I think Derek's future is bright as well as a coach. So hopefully they can all continue those and get better as they go.
Yeah, again, definitely impressed with what they had to say, the way they carried themselves, believed in themselves, the brotherhood, the camaraderie, the teams and all. I mean, it bodes well.
Oh, yeah, the future looks promising, especially with the plan I know Frank's got in place for next year. Again, with this, when you got that much talent, you gotta change it up and do a little bit of something extra to make your team better for the future, and not let those kids get stagnant and not play.
Yeah.
So I think he's got a really good plan in place. Now a little bit of recap about what's gone on in week past and what's coming up for the high school's teams.
Let's back up. Let's go baseball. Let's go baseball first.
That's fine.
Okay, actually, they come in with a record of 13-6 on the season. Had some nice wins over the past week. They defeated West Carter 10-0 in six innings. They defeated Lee County 17-0 in four innings. Followed that up, it was a doubleheader night. One at Lee County in game number 22-4 in three innings. And then a nice win over Paris 14-3. And the first time we had the game against Paris, it was a 4-3 game. So nice to see them rebound offensively. And then Powell is on the road tonight at Owsley County, a big district game. And then they'll play Knott Central on the 29th, on the 30th, Morgan County, and at Wolf County. And then they'll be at West Carter, who they just ended up defeating on May the 3rd. And then May the 4th, next Tuesday, they'll be at GRC, and we hope to have that game for you.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule coming up for the Pirates after what's been a promising week. So they've got a couple big region games coming up. Well, really three, I guess, Friday, Saturday, and then Monday. But, you know, you look for the Pirates to win tonight over Owsley and lock in at least a two seed for baseball going forward. Right now they're sitting in a two slot because Estill beat us by one, right?
Correct.
In the last game out. So Powell County can still get the one seed with the win over Estill by more than one on the 10th of May.
Correct, and that's actually at Estill County. That particular game
start
is
time.
Yeah, that's you're having the girls at Estill and then the boys at Estill on the same night, 5:30 start and a 6:30 start. So they kind of staggered it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the girls here. 3-9 record on the season for the Lady Pirates. Ended up getting a couple of nice wins against Model, 16-5 in five innings, and then Menifee County 17-2 in three innings. Bats really were working hard, and then followed that up the next day at GRC. Ended up losing 9-3 in four innings, but that game was those were short innings in a sense anyway. Originally, correct?
It was a time limit game.
Okay.
What happened in that one? We were actually, I'm not knocking officials; they try their best. Missed a call right off the bat against us in the first inning. We called runners safe for Clark County. We would have been out of that inning with no run scored had that been called out versus save. They wound up scoring two, I think. We scored three in the first inning. We scored two in the first. They scored one. We scored another run in the second. They scored two to tie. And, again, I think we're up 3-2 versus being tied 3-3 going to the fourth where they scored six after when Powell kind of made three or four errors or misplays and just walked too many people in that inning. And then the game was called due to time limit with a minute left. And I told the umpire, I said, I think we've got a minute left. He said, you're right, but we've already called it. So was called a minute early, which we're already down six, and I understand that. But we need wins right now. We need to get RPI based on our seeds. I'll explain that in just a minute. But, you know, RPI is not very good either, but we are fourth rated in the district, which has a bearing on what happens next week with our games against Lee and Owsley.
Yeah, and actually those games are coming up. You actually travel on the road on the 28th at Morgan County, and then you're at Hazard on the 29th. Then you'll be back home on May 2nd against Hazard. We'll have that game for you. And then you kind of have a stretch of games on the road. You'll be at Lee County on the 3rd. You'll actually host Breathitt County on the 5th, and then at Owsley County, at Knott Central, and then you'll be back at home on May the 9th against Wolf County.
Yeah, and that's going to be our senior night also, is the 9th. We had actually scheduled a game for the 13th. That game since has been canceled already. Buckhorn, we rescheduled that game from earlier, and that game has been canceled due to Buckhorn having a prom. Or, I'm sorry, the graduation. So right now, you know, the biggest game for us coming up, we got to win every game we can. The game against Lee County is huge for us. It's a game where if Powell County has to win that game for more than two, if we can do that and then beat Owsley County next week, which is that game you can't even think about it except for planning purposes. If you beat Owsley by 10 plus, then Powell County gets a two seed. If you lose to either one of those two teams, you're the four. and you'll play Estill County in round one. It's not what I want. It's not. I've never been in that position before. So hopefully we can remedy that by wins against Lee and Owsley next week. But again, you gotta beat Lee first, and then think about Owsley later.
And actually, that Lee County game, one of the best games of the season as far as entertainment and sense. You dropped it by two runs. It goes nine innings, though, but it literally was a back-and-forth battle. Could have gone either way, and unfortunately, the team ended up dropping it by
entertainment
two.
Entertainment purposes probably gets an A. Outcome for us, it was probably a B. I know I told Danny one time during the game, it was tied at 7, I believe. He said, let's just call it a tie and go home. He said, that's probably a good idea. You know, that's one of those games where neither team deserved to lose that one, I think.
Agreed,
Their pitcher had 18 strikeouts. Our pitching staff had 16. We actually out-hit Lee County in the game, but we also gave up more walks and errors. Actually, the errors were tied, I think, 4-4 apiece. So, but the difference in the game to me was kind of the walks. Everything else was kind of even. Again, we out-hit them, which was kind of surprising to me. She's pretty good. Throws really hard. And
Presley Cundiff
is only, I think she's an eighth grader.
Yeah.
And, man, she throws probably around 60, and we finally got their bats livened up a little bit toward the fourth inning, and after a few bunts in maybe the third to take the lead, but made a few errors and cost us the ball game probably in the fourth inning, where we made some booted some balls, and just you can't do that in a close game.
No, you're exactly right. Coming up this next week, though, it looks like we'll probably have a game most every night coming up this next week. A lot of key matchups. We'll probably travel to GRC
Wednesday
for the boys, and then try and catch the Lee County game and or the Owsley County game, depending on what happens in that first matchup.
Like I told you earlier, the Lee County game really is the crux game. If you don't beat Lee, doesn't really matter about Owsley. It matters, but it's not. You're not going to get away from that four seed. But we need to pick up some wins other than just those two, because we got to raise our RPI in case we get a split or we get we beat Lee more than two, but we don't beat Owsley, but more than 10, which is, I'm not saying it's not doable, but it's very difficult to do. So the other outcome for us would be to go to the RPI, and right now we're last in RPI, so we'll get wins other than those two just to pick up our RPI a bit.
So you have Morgan County coming up tomorrow night, actually on the road, ended up losing to them earlier in the season. And then on the 29th, you'll be at Hazard. What can you tell us about Hazard?
Well, Hazard's playing really good right now. And what the scouting report says on them is they hit the ball really well. They've got a couple different pitchers. One throws pretty hard. The other one throws a pretty good changeup. So we'll kind of see how that goes. So far, hard pitching hasn't killed us. Soft stuff has bothered us some. But we got to make some adjustments. We worked on some different things today in practice. So hopefully some of the practice things we're doing are going to pay off for the upcoming games. Like I told my kids, today was one of the last practices we're going to have. We've only got two more days of practice before district tournament. That Monday we can practice before Tuesday. District tournament is set for Tuesday, election day. So, like I said, it's set for that day. And right now, for Powell County purposes, we will play the second game, regardless of our seed. We'll play the second game on Tuesday due to Megan and having other commitments for election day. So not having some of the coaches are kind of big for us. So they're allowing us to move to the second game regardless on election day, which was very nice of Estill County to kind of move us down.
Okay. At that point, it's at Estill County this year.
At Estill County. Baseball will play on Monday, and Wednesday. Softball will play on Tuesday and Thursday. So, and if it's Powell County, if Powell County advances to Thursday, that game, softball championship will be on Friday due to, honors night. So they have made some adjustments for Powell. If regardless for election day, we're moving back to second game, and then if we play on Thursday, then we'll move that game to Friday depending on how Powell does. And Ken's had a little bit of a cough issue. So that being said, again, join us live on join WSKV live on Monday, excuse me, versus Hazard at home, and our next broadcast will be Lee County away on Tuesday, followed by baseball at Clark County on Wednesday. After that, we'll kind of keep you posted on where we are as far as the schedule is concerned. So thanks for WSKV. We ran over time again here on PCSN Live. But, again, thanks to Derek Robinson and his Powell County Middle School baseball players. Again, good luck in the future, and we'll see you next week here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thank you
for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton. For joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9.